This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Rita Game. Good morning. This is Frieda Lewis, Motivational Monday. I've got Caroline Ong from Leadernomics here. And our conversation today is about my organization and I learning how to stretch and reach the sky. So in this dynamic and fast-paced world today, individuals and organizations would need to be very agile in learning, discover how individuals and organizations need to inculcate and promote the passion and belief to be willing to learn in order to create value, to be creative, to be different in adding value to others. So stretching towards the sky sounds like an interesting but very, very daunting goal.
Yeah, thanks, Frieda. It's really quite daunting to most of us. Mm. And I guess, today is really very challenging and many people do feel like it's a daily reality when they're asked to reach for the sky. Mm. Well, some other people may say that, well, it's all in the mind, right? Mm. That, well, you can think like that, but you can also think that it is not as difficult as it seems. Mm. But at the end of the day, it's really looking at how do you overcome these challenges. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, the Director General DG of the Finnish National Agency for Education, Olli Pekka, I think he was here in town and he spoke to BFM on how important it is to learn how to learn.
Ah, so you heard it on a breakfast grill. Okay.
I do try.
Okay. All right. And, you know, and of course, this is a Finnish education. I think they also did away with textbooks or something, you know, quite radical recently, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they are really gearing towards, you know, helping people to learn in a different way. Mm-hmm. But honestly, this is not new because I think even in 2002, we have the Geeks and Geezers book. They wrote about learning to learn is key to becoming a leader. And now it's, well, you know, almost end of the year, right? Mm. It's almost 2018. And it is no longer just about IQ and EQ, but it's also about LQ.
Right.
And just to clarify that, LQ, most people know it as learning quotient, but there are also interviews where I've heard where Jack Ma, the go-to person nowadays, refers to the fact that leaders need not only IQ, EQ, LQ, but his definition of LQ is slightly different. It's actually love quotient.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think what he means is that he's referring to a person's belief and passion and value to be creative, to be different, right? So, well, if we put that two together, it is really looking at intersection of our learning quotient, LQ, and Jack Ma's love quotient, LQ. We could kind of say, you know, if we put them together to be having the passion, the belief, to be learning to learn, right? And in that way, we can actually create value. We can be creative. We can add value to others around us. So, yeah, I was kind of thinking I should be patenting this LQ squared thing, you know.
Ah, clever. TM, right? Okay, now, you know, bringing the two LQs together. And why is this LQ squared important going forward, especially in the, you know, in the much-touted industry 4.0 and what's that, VUCA, world of tomorrow. And VUCA, of course, I always get this volatile, ambiguous, I can't remember that
uncertainty.
Word. Uncertainty. Okay. Uncertainty.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Complexity.
Complex and ambiguity.
You got it. You got it.
Okay,
yeah.
Pass. All
right. Okay. Yeah. So, well, that's the VUCA thing is really the what's happening tomorrow, but actually what's also happening today, right? Mm. And in all these changes, really, it is only the people factor that's makes a difference.
Right.
Right. And even in, you know, nowadays we also talk about AI, right? Artificial intelligence. In that development, it's really up to the organization to leverage AI to be able to make a difference. Mm. And that means that, you know, you depend on the employees, you depend on the talents that you have to be creative, to be innovative, and to collaborate across the different teams, different spaces. Yeah. So I think both as an organization to respond to this VUCA, as well as an individual, we need to learn how to learn, you know?
Yeah.
And we need to be able to provide that culture and space for organizations. Mm. But for individuals, it's really how do we motivate people? How do we empower people to be able to increase their personal mastery?
Right.
Then, in a way, with all these VUCA challenges, we are able to respond quickly and appropriately, take them by the horns and turn them around so that we can deliver value. I think that's what it is.
Okay, so you talk about a learning organization, culture and space. You know? So what does it take for us to create that?
Yeah, so I think in general, there are two things. Of course, the intrinsic motivation and extrinsic motivation to enable that learning organization to happen. So extrinsic motivation, I think we all recognize that you need it. Yeah, to move the needle. But in a long term, it's not really sustainable by itself. And that's why you need the intrinsic motivation to get things going. And I'm sure, you know, you have heard so many theories about that. But I think one of the easiest to kind of get it going is Dan Pink. And he has this puzzle of motivation. You know, I check out TED Talks. Mm. It's always on the highest views list.
Right.
Yeah. So he speaks about three things. Purpose, mastery and autonomy. So purpose is very important, of course, to gel us all together and make sure that we are united, you know, just like Malaysians, right? I don't know about you, but I love durians.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, and we are so united. We talk about the best musang king in the world, you know. Well, of course, okay, on the national bit, you know, badminton, we're also very united when we'll be in the stadium or maybe at the mama, you know, to cheer our team forward. So that's when Malaysians across all generations, races, religion, we'll all be rallying together. Now, imagine if that happens for the organization. You know, how we can all feel connected to the same big picture and put our best foot forward because we know how it will matter to the organization. We know how it will matter to the people around us. So that will actually make us more responsible to bettering ourselves and things around us and really learning how to do that better and cope better for that purpose that we are trying to achieve.
You know, it all sounds very optimistic and it is Motivational Monday, right? Now, but would that just be a matter of feelings, which can I say that may or may not necessarily translate to being able to be better?
Yeah, that is true, yeah. On one hand, the purpose may be there, but we must be able to also deliver on it, I think is what you're saying. Like the other components, like personal mastery and autonomy, it needs to come together. So to be a learning organization, I think what we need to do is to enable each individual to hone their skills in the different areas, because I think we're all different. We have different skill set, different talents, and we can all contribute to the vision and purpose differently, right? So even like, for example, in the organization that I work with, Lideronomics, we all identify very strongly about developing people, developing leaders, and even our front office, like we call her Auntie Shanti. So Auntie Shanti manages our front office and she makes sure that she directs all the calls and the visitors to the right people, take care of all of us and our office needs, you know, so that we can rest of us get focused on some other things that we are responsible for. So even that, right? So yeah, so that is really enabling people to do. And the other thing is about personal mastery. In the organizations, I think we need to be able to allow what we call fast failures.
Okay.
Right? And that's one terminology that people typically use. It's called MVP. Yeah. Sometimes when I ask this, right, those people who play sports will say MVP. You know, what's that? You know, that's basketball for most valuable player.
Right.
I'm like, Well, in this case, you're talking about minimal viable product, right, where the organization can actually move ahead with prototypes and early tests so that you can tweak, you can adjust and update. And that is an agility so that people can learn and unlearn.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not only limited to products because, you know, it sounds like just a product thingy, right? MVP, right? But also team. So team formations and some processes, you can also allow that to happen.
This process works, this process doesn't work.
Yeah, and you can tweak. We don't have to be stuck on it kind of thing. There's some companies, you know, like Spotify, they actually declare that they are good at failing.
Okay.
Yeah. So, of course, we must mitigate that risk, you know. we must kind of ensure that we make the right decisions as well. Yeah. But I think these are the other things. If we want the organization to learn, is to allow that space and that culture, right?
Okay. Do you think it's un-Asian for us to allow failures to happen? You know, will this work in Malaysia? I know it's slowly changing, but do you think it'll work here wholeheartedly?
Well, it is true. We are Asians and face is very important to us. And you know, it's like if we allow people to fail, does that mean like, oh, that's it, lose face, yeah. right? Or kiasu lah, right? But I guess another way of looking at it is if we allow small measured failures,
right.
it will actually make us more successful. So it's kind of like a new way of life, right? Even I think the younger Malaysians, now it begins to sound old, but yeah, the younger Malaysians are really trying to adopt that and be more open to look at culture that's more innovative that, for us, you know? And yeah, so I think we're all trying as Asians to be more open to allowing failures. Yeah, I don't know, like even for me at home, right, I have teenagers and I'm trying to encourage them to do that. As a mother, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, why don't we have this little failures, which is fine. But I think more importantly is talking about it after that, right? The conversations about what failed, why it failed, what have we learned. And I think those are the conversations that we need to have because that will enable the learning to happen.
You know, like rather than when you your son, well, in the case of my son, when he gets his results, said, oh, okay, this is the one you're right. So what were the ones that, what did you learn from the ones you got wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And maybe not penalize why you got a C or a D, but okay, so what were the ones that you got wrong? Why? Can you learn up about it? I guess that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So you're never, you know, you're never 100%. I think that's the kind of feeling that we are never 100%.
Yeah, we're never perfect anyway.
Yeah, we never will be, you know?
Yeah, but I think, you know, that's the thing, right? We have that saying that say practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
Maybe we got to kind of adjust that a little bit.
To practice makes?
What do you think?
Better improvements.
Yeah. So practice is not perfection because I think sometimes that sets us up for failure.
Right.
But it's like, by practicing, you just get better. You get better. And you learn from this process. And if we can allow that at home and we can allow that in the organization, we will all grow in the process, right?
I know we talk about it a fair bit, Carol Dweck's book on mindset, right? And then I'm very conscious, let me never have a fixed mindset and then, you know, and have a growth mindset that, hey, we're always going to learn. There's always something to be better. There's always something to improve. Always, 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 right? And then that's how you improve, you know?
Exactly.
So, okay, now with all the good intent, do you think that everyone in the organization will be as keen and willing to learn?
That is really a good question. Maybe not everybody is up to it per se, right? But I think that's where the motivation factor comes in, Motivation Monday, right? So that's where I think the organization need to put in certain processes to nudge people towards learning so that we can allow that learning to happen at different pace and different topics. And usually the self-initiated type of learning, that usually works better because it can progress faster and at greater depth. Yeah. So perhaps what we need to do is to give employees that space to learn and also to teach each other the different skill sets that they have. And that will actually increase the ownership of learning.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I think being a teacher usually is usually the best thing that you can do to yourself in order to learn. Yeah, and even the kiasu Asians are same lah, huh? Because you want to teach well, so therefore you would want to learn how, you know, as much as you can, and that will enable you to teach. And imagine if you are like what we spoke about earlier, the purpose.
Yeah.
When your purpose is very strong, and when you're also, you know, really good friends in the organization, you want to make sure that you really do a good job of sharing that knowledge. Yeah, and transferring those skills. So to be a good teacher, you must first be a learner. Yeah. And I think even for me, whenever I teach, I find that I learn so much from the process.
Right.
Yeah.
Also that I learn is just learn, do, teach. You know, and then repeat process.
Well, we're kind of like in a process improvement mode here. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now we'll continue our conversation on my organization, I Learning How to Stretch and Reach the Sky with Caroline Ong from Leadernomics. Do stay tuned to Raise a Game, BFM 89.9.
Bickering frustrates Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning, Frieda Liu here. Caroline Ong from Leadonomics here with us. We're talking about my organization, I Learning How to Stretch and Reach the Sky. Now, as a quick recap so far, we spoke about how one needs to create and enable a learning organization by sharing the same vision and purpose across the organization. What increasing personal mastery of individuals and providing them autonomy. Early, we're also discussing your LQ squared definition of having the passion and belief to be learning, to learn in order to create value, to be creative, to be different in adding value to others around us, our community, and ultimately our nation, right? So how do you further encourage individuals to have this passion and belief?
Well, there are a lot of what we call psychometric assessments out there, and they typically focus on learning agility, which is really looking at how fast and how accurate you are learning from a cognitive perspective. But I think we also need to look at other things, like, for example, our internal belief system towards learning. You know, we need to ask ourselves a few questions like, do we believe in investing in new knowledge and skills? And what kind of cost are we willing to pay for that? There's always a cost, right? And are we mindful and focused and reflective in learning from daily events and daily things that happen to us? And whether we have a strong frame of reference in terms of, you know, how do we want to grow? Our whole enthusiasm and resilience in approaching life, you know. So I think things like this, when you think, you consider, you reflect on things like that, it will actually help us to know where we are in our own learning belief system. And at the end of the day, well, passion cannot be forced, lah.
Right.
So you want to, if you want to learn, you must really have that belief system that is a lifelong learning process and that you think is important. You want to be able to see results and outcomes. And even for those who are already matured, kind of like make sure that we continue to learn. And then if you have that belief system, then we can take a few action items or action steps rather to kind of fire up our learning system. So it starts with belief, but then you can use a couple of steps to fire up your learning system.
Okay. So it looks like we began with a fiery start of trying to learn to reach for the sky. And now we're ending with firing up our own system, right? Please elaborate on that.
Sure. I think a couple of things that we can do once we are ready with this, that we are ready to take it on and stretch and fly and reach for the skies, Well, the first of all is to be childlike.
Yeah,
we need to be curious about the little things that we may have taken for granted in our daily lives. And that curiosity will actually help us as we explore things. And if it does not come naturally, that childlike curiosity, then we will have to earnestly and really steadfastly examine ourselves. Which are the areas that we could do better in?
Right.
And, you know, how do we create that feedback loop? Two things, within ourselves, and secondly, with the people around us, so that we know where we are. Well, because, you know, one thing is, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on positive psychology nowadays. Well, it is good to be positive, but on the other hand, it may also mean that we may miss out seeing self-improvement areas in ourselves. So to know how to learn, we kind of need to channel all our energy to discover and to hone our new skills. And, you know, Malcolm Gladwell always talks about, or rather, people quote him. People quote him on the 10,000 hours thing. But actually, that is just the norm, right? If you want to be averagely good, do 10,000 hours.
Right.
But if you need to be better, it must be more than that, right? And that's the, we're talking about very targeted and intentional kind of 10,000 hours, by the way. So instead of just doing that, I think we also need to be making sure that we have a different diversity of things, like types of conversation with different people, right? Different inputs, different perspectives.
Right.
I think all those as an individual will help us to discover new things and help us learn how to learn. So
what I love what I do, I tell you. Because everybody, every day I'm just learning something new. Go on.
I know. And you know, honestly, that's the same for me.
Right.
And that drives us at work. So both as a work and individual. So one of the things I learned from a previous conversation, a previous organization that I was with in PwC was something that called lunch with a stranger. So what you do is, on a given day, you will have lunch with people that you don't know,
okay,
on a specific topic, okay? So the objective is, of course, you expand your network, lah, but okay, also your perspectives. Okay. And I think that's something new that you kind of like give yourself opportunities to try out new stuff, have different deep conversations and be curious about things, right? Mm. All those childlike ways, because all these different experiences, they will not only help us to see things differently, but they will fire up your learning neurons and your appetite, right? And I think we spoke about this. We need to teach, right? We need to teach the young ones. And honestly, I think when we teach, we are inspired by them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Just 2 weekends ago, yeah, I was with some young ones, and these are like 11-year-old mm-hmm. kids, and they were part of our youth summit. And it's amazing because they are so passionate, they are so eager to make a difference, and I think that's what we need.
Right.
If we want to grow and face all these challenges, we need to have that curiosity and that passion. And what better way than to learn from the young people?
Okay. So yeah. would you then say that we need to inculcate this love of exploration, discovery, and learning from the young, and that they'll be inspired by adults sharing different experiences with them?
Yeah, I think definitely we need to start young.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it's both ways, right? On one hand, we inspire them.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think we're inspired by them.
Mm.
Yeah, both ways. Yeah, even for me as a teenager, I remember that my father, yeah, he has this philosophical viewpoints in life, right? And he would actually keep me up late on school nights, you know, to kind of like listen to him, have the conversations with him, and sometimes debate with him on the why. Mm. So it was like really great conversation for me as kind of like the younger one. But I think if I look at it in hindsight, I believe he must have enjoyed those conversations. He must have benefited from them as well. So I think it's both ways. We need to start young, as in we engage our young, but as now on the other side of the, what should I call it? Spectrum.
The spectrum.
Yeah, I find that I'm also very inspired by the young, and I think it goes both ways.
It's so very interesting you should bring this up, because just yesterday I was one of the mentors for the Startup Weekend for Youth, and they purposely had in that group people who were from, you know, your average families, and then we had a lot of people from underprivileged communities. There were some refugees, and there were some orphans and all that, and the ideas they came up with, you know, just to be thinking, they're all like less than 15, and one came up with a brilliant idea of being able to detect what food has allergies in it, because he suffers from allergies. Like, wow. You know, and it's just like when you give people, and you know, so you learn, and they're, wow, who would have thought of that, right? They did, right? And it's brilliant if we're always continuously learning, and you learn from everyone you meet, right? So yes, I guess we need to continue to sow the love for learning from young, and even for matured individuals like ourselves. I think to continue to learn how to learn, right? And from an organization perspective, nurture and provide space for learning to reach for the skies with this LQ squared approach, TM by Caroline.
Yes.
And I think, you know, it really, sometimes you just can't, yes, your organization can help you, but at the same time, you have to take the initiative as well, because it's so easy to learn things around us right now. And I find that when I learn from outside, I bring it back to work. And when I learn from work, I bring it outside as well.
Yes.
So it, you know, and it benefits you as an individual. Thanks for being with us. Caroline
you.
Ong from Leadernomics, talking about learning how to stretch and reach the sky. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.